And kill it. Yours, etc., Brigadier Arthur Dormanstrop, Mrs.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, facilitating moral upheaval since 1989. This is CITR 101.9 FM. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Thanks to the news team. Thanks to Nardwa, too, who always does a show on Fridays. This is an Australian and Canadian music show that you're going to be hearing for the next 1.5 hours. You could be listening online on CITR.ca. It's 6:30 in Vancouver. It's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in Vancouver, and I think it might be about 11 o'clock in Sydney, Australia. If you can only listen to part of this show and you need to rush off, fear not. There is a blog, ausstrandedradio.com, is where you can find all the podcasts and set lists for each week. This week, I have an interview with a local director of a music festival. A very, very well-established festival that's been running for 10 years, and that is the In the House Festival. I'm going to be speaking with Miriam Steinberg. She is doing lots of great work for the musical community, and, well, more the musical community, the artistic community of this city, really, because the In the House Festival is very unique in that it opens the doors of residential homes to a really vast array of performances, not just music, but also burlesque and juggling, comedy, circus, all sorts of wonderful creative and performing arts. So Miriam's going to be phoning through to say hi and tell us about the festival, which is on in June, but also there's a fundraiser coming up just next week to help raise money to keep the festival going. So not a lot of Australian stuff this week, actually, because there's so much happening in Vancouver. We've got a lot of local music to get through, including a little dip into the past to explore the music of the New Pornographers. The New Pornographers are doing a rare homecoming show this weekend. Actually, it's tomorrow. And I'll tell you where and when a little bit later on, but it's been really cool for me to kind of discover this band. Because I grew up elsewhere, I just don't remember hearing the New Pornographers at all, really, growing up in Australia. I mean, they must have been on some college radio stations and whatnot. I'm surprised, though, because I know they're quite world-renowned as being a pretty wonderful indie pop rock band, power pop, perhaps. Just flawless melodies, really. And I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks from 4 different albums of theirs. I think they have 5 out in total, but I've only got 4 physically with me here. So you're going to hear some songs from Mass Romantic, Electric Version, Twin Cinema, and Together. So we're going to start with the Mass Romantic album and A Letter from an Occupant, which is the classic song that first gained the attention of music lovers across the world, really. The New Pornographers, of course, featuring quite a large lineup. You have Dan Behar, Catherine Calder, Nico Case, John Collins, Kurt Dahl, Todd Fancy, Carl Newman, and Blaine Turner. So I'll tell you more about the band as we get into them. Again, this will be a great little retrospective for some of the Australian listeners who aren't so familiar, but Vancouverites will definitely be well aware of these great musicians. Okay, here it is. This is the New Pornographers going right back to the Mint Records release, Mass Romantic. A letter from an occupant.
Just as long as I shoot what I want. What the last? Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, and People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. And you should really, well, if you're a Vancouverite, you should know who that band is, the New Pornographers. Going back to the Mass Romantic release, you heard Letter from an Occupant and also Two Wild Homes. And we're featuring New Pornographers because they're playing this weekend, homecoming show. Yes, they're back. I'm wondering what they're going to be doing recording-wise. I think it's been a while since the record, but they're touring in any event. So I'm going to play a few tracks from three more New Pornographers records. Up next, we have a couple from Electric Version, which was their next release. And it is very familiar to hear the term supergroup used in relation to this band. We have Carl Newman. He was a member of a group called Superconductor and Zampano, if I'm correct. Back in the 90s, you had Nico Case was a member of Cub. John Collins, of course, has been in the Evaporators with Nardwuar. And he's worked with Dan Behar in Destroyer, and Dan Behar, a member of the New Pornographers, is Destroyer, of course. So huge pool of talent there on the group. Let's keep going with the record called Electric Version, which came out in 2003. Let's hear a couple of tracks now.
Introducing for the first time, they're on the microphone, sing all. What'll be
Welcome back to CITR. This is Strand at the Australian Canadian Music Show. And just a reminder, we have an interview coming up with Miriam Steinberg. She is the artistic director for the In the House Festival, which occurs in Vancouver each year. Really a wonderful contributor to the art scene of this city. As are the new pornographers, they really put Vancouver on the map. They're a really, really world-renowned indie pop band. And we're doing a little retrospective on them because they are playing this weekend, homecoming show, and it's going to be 3 p.m. tomorrow at the Georgia Canby Street parking lot, which is 688 Canby Street. So we're playing some tracks from their releases today to get you in the mood. What did you just hear there? That was a couple of tracks from the Electric Version album. You heard The Laws Have Changed and It's Only Divine Right. Up next is Twin Cinema, the release. We're going to hear for you the track Twin Cinema from that album, the track one. and also Jackie Dressed in Cobras, which is a great Dan Behar number. And I actually met Dan Behar yesterday, completely randomly. I was walking down the street, minding my own business, heading down Kingsway, just past Fraser, and I recognized him instantly. I recognized this tall guy with curly big black hair, and he was just getting off his cell phone, and I was walking right towards him. I said, "Hello, sir, I'm a big fan of your work. I just wanted to say hi." Shook his hand. I propositioned him right there for a radio interview, but wishful thinking. He said he'd love to, but you know, maybe when he has a release, another release out for his Destroyer project. And I said thank you, and yeah. So and he did say he's going to be on the bill, of course, tomorrow. He is playing with the New Pornographers. So I'm going to play for you one of his tracks now, one of his songs he penned for the group. That's coming up at this next set of songs. A really awesome song called Jackie Dressed in Cobras. So let's get back into it. New Pornographers, a couple of tracks now from the Twin Cinema album, which came out in 2005.
Kind of thing before. This Friday, May 3rd, at the Cobalt, it's Discorder's May issue launch party. Starring electropop outfit Fine Times from the pages of the September issue and grungy psych droner Dirty Spells from the April 2012 issue. Come check out the new issue and boogie down with bands, contributors, and friends.
You're back on CITR Radio. Two more tracks there from the New Pornographers from the Twin Cinema album, which came out in 2005. I played for you the title track, Twin Cinema, and then also track number five, Jackie Dressed in Cobras, a great Dan Behar pen tune. I've been really getting into Dan's music, his Destroyer project in particular. Just a really great songwriter, and yeah, my dream would be to interview him. That hopefully that'll happen one day. As I said, I met him yesterday completely randomly walking down the street, and I was walking right towards him, and I had to stop and shake his hand. So anyway, they are playing tomorrow, the New Pornographers, here in Vancouver at in a big car park. I'll get you that address again. It's at Canby Street and Georgia, 688 Canby Street. For the New Pornographers, big show, homecoming. Let's play two more tracks now. I'm skipping one of their albums. I'm skipping Challenges because I just don't have it. But I have the Together release, the last album, which came out in 2010. So what tracks are we going to play here? I think we'll play Crash Years and Silver Jenny Dollar. So two more tracks of the New Pornographers, then we'll get into some more Canadian music and my interview with Miriam Steinberg, who is the artistic director of the In the House Festival.
Behind the walls of clocks. true. Cartilage and sinew was the name of her act, and it's true. To love her is all I can do. In a world that's beaten everything black and blue, they haul a silver Jenny dollar. Silver Jenny dollar. Silver Jenny dollar. We're only ever passing through. Cartilage and sinew was the name of our act, and it's true. You noticed it's all I can do. In a world that's beaten everything black and blue, they haul a silver Jenny dollar. Silver Jenny dollar. Silver Jenny dollar. Winter's over, the war is over. A parcel of landmen ask them, it's true, they'll love you.
Welcome back. CITR Radio is the wonderful radio station that this show is aired on. The show is called Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. My name's Matt. You can follow the show on Twitter, at AusStranded, and follow on the show blog, AusStrandedRadio.com. Two final tracks there from the New Pornographers for you to whet your appetite, because they're playing in Vancouver tomorrow at the corner of Canby and Georgia. There's a car park there. You heard their Crash Years and Silver Jenny Dollar from the Together LP, which is their 2010 release. Exciting stuff. I haven't seen them before. I dare say I should be able to get down there tomorrow. So yeah, that's it. There's a little retrospective for you on the New Pornographers. I'll be right back with my interview with Miriam Steinberg. She is the artistic director of the In the House Festival. This is CITR Radio.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola. No marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Welcome back to CRTR Radio, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Pretty much mostly Vancouver music and information today, because there's so much happening. I caught up with Miriam Steinberg today over the phone. She is the artistic director for the In the House Festival. In the House Festival is celebrating 10 years running as a real institution here in the city of Vancouver, bringing together community and performers in people's houses. A really fascinating concept. And this is a landmark year. 10 years is a remarkable achievement for an artistic festival. It's not easy, I'm sure. And Thursday, May 9th, this year is the gala, the 10-year celebration gala and fundraiser for the festival. The festival itself runs in June. I'll tell you more about the actual festival later on. May 9th, there's the gala. This is on at the Fanny Fairlane Hall at 2605 East Pender. $40 in advance tickets, $50 at the door, for a wonderful cause to keep this festival going. So who better to tell you about this festival than Miriam Steinberg, as she's the artistic director, and I caught up with her on the phone today. Hello, Miriam.
Hello.
So great to have you. We had a chance meeting yesterday. I dived right in and grabbed you and put you on the phone because you do something quite interesting in this city, which is host the In the House Festival. So you're the go-to person, you're the artistic director.
Correct, yeah.
And I understand this is a long-running festival that's now 10 years running?
Yeah, we're going into our 10th year now. It's kind of a miracle.
And you've been involved for the whole time?
I have, yeah.
Did you, as an individual, found the festival, or was it started as a collective initially? How did it all come about?
The initial idea came from a friend of mine, and he brought me and a bunch of other folks on board, and as a group we put together the very first one, and that was in 2003. And after that, pretty much everybody was off doing their own projects, and in 2005 I was like, you know what, that was a really inspiring project and I would love to continue with it. And I took it over and developed it, made it what it is today.
And it's an extraordinary service to the city, and your mandate on the website is really well written in terms of, you know, increasing audience awareness of local performers and creating community. Can you describe, I mean, exactly how the festival functions? Because it's different to most festivals that people go to a venue, a bar, to see.
Yeah, for sure. So essentially we have people who donate their living rooms and their backyards to host performances. It could be music or dance or theater, circus, cabaret, burlesque, and people buy their tickets and it's like going to the theater, but it's in somebody's house. So it really creates that intimate vibe, that up close and personal, both with the performer and with the person beside you, and it really creates this sense of community and this sense of belonging within the arts.
Absolutely. I'm wondering, is this, it seems to have a European feel to it. Is this sort of thing, does it happen in Europe or in other countries, this kind of festival?
I actually haven't seen anything that has this kind of scope. Music concerts often happen inside people's living rooms. There are house concerts all over the world. But the fact that we also do all kinds of dance and circus and burlesque, that is kind of a new thing, and I haven't seen it anywhere.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Going through the website, I expected to see a whole bunch of singer-songwriters, which is wonderful, but to see the incredible array was just amazing. And it all comes together. I guess you've probably learned a lot along the way how to do this over 10 years. What have you learned along the way? That's probably a pretty broad question, but...
That is a very, very broad question. I learned that people are really, really hungry to build community and to have that sense of place and that sense that they've participated in something unique and cultural. They walk away kind of amazed and wanting to see more, and they get introduced to a bunch of different groups that they may never have heard of before, and all of a sudden they become fans of a particular group, which is awesome. And the other thing, you know, you really kind of learn how generous people are. They're donating their houses, there's just this sense that people want to share. And I think that's a really important thing to remember, that this kind of thing exists. So, yeah, I mean, other than the basic boring logistic stuff, which, you know, unless you're a festival producer yourself, you probably, I don't know, could be just passingly curious about. That's, you know, it's really the biggest lesson really is the constant reminder of what people are willing to give. and share.
Absolutely, and yeah, definitely opening up one's minds, both the audience and the hosts. I'm curious, like a host, does somebody approach you and say, "Hey, I want to have someone," and it's sort of the luck of the draw who they get it, so a surprise for them? Or do you find people say, "I'm opening my house and I want this," or how does that part of it work?
It's kind of a combination. So the living room, first of all, or the backyard has to be big enough. So if somebody is interested in hosting and has approached me, then I would have to go and check out their space to make sure that it's appropriate. Otherwise, a lot of the houses I found, because I live in that neighborhood, so I knew all these people and I'd seen their spaces, so I asked them if they would be willing to host. And then after that, like, I kind of, when I see their space, I can kind of picture what kind of thing would be appropriate in there. So, for example, if it's a singer-songwriter showcase and they need a piano, then obviously the living room has to have a piano. So it's dependent on a lot of factors, and there are certain shows that people really, really, really want to host, so I try to make that happen. And vice versa, if they're really not into a certain genre, then I'll try to make sure that they don't have that in their house.
Can you tell the listeners in the past some of the performers that have been over the years that they may be familiar with locally?
Let's see. There are so many.
Oh, yeah.
On the music scene, there's people like Yvette Narlock, the Big Good Tanyas, High Society.
I saw C.R. Avery on there somewhere.
C.R. Avery, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The Sojourners. There's a bunch of jazz musicians like André Lachance, Bruno Hubert, François Houle. They've all performed. There's the Underground Circus, who usually, for the last 3 or 4 years, have done the finale. So we have a giant circus that happens in one of the backyards. A lot of the burlesque dancers, so the Razzle Dazzle Tease group, the Sweet Soul Burlesque, a lot of puppeteers like Mind of a Snail, Maggie Winston, dancers, let's see, Lucetera, the Now or Never crew, who are hip-hop dancers. We've had Balinese, Korean, swing dance.
So
many genres. It's hard to list off the number of artists. We've actually hosted probably around 600 different performing groups.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. And actually, people can, your website's quite good for that chronology too. Folks can find that inthehousefestival.com. And let's bring it to the present then. You have a fundraiser that's occurring quite soon. Next Thursday, May 9th, this is a fundraiser to enable the festival to go ahead.
Correct, yeah. I mean, it's the festival is going to happen regardless. It's always nice to be able to do it without feeling like you are scraping the bottom of the barrel every time. Yeah, so we're, the May 9th fundraiser is also a celebration of our 10-year anniversary. So it's, you know, it's a combination of celebrating that and having live performances, a live auction with amazing prizes, like a trip for two to Paris, if you bid and win that. We have a silent auction. We have chocolate fountains, a lot of roving artists, some magicians, some clowns, and lots of music. So it should be a really good time.
And so that's at the Femi Furlane Hall?
Yeah, it's a hall on East Pender, 2605 East Pender. It's kind of close to Hastings and Nanaimo. And it's a beautiful little hall. And it's a little community hall. I think it's based, it's a Northern Italian group that runs it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, again, highlighting the incredible multicultural aspect of the whole festival. So we got here $40 advance tickets, $50 at the door.
Yeah, that's for the fundraiser.
For the fundraiser, that's right. And so performers who are going to be on that night are some of the ones who are performing in the actual festival?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. So we're talking about the In the House Festival fundraiser, May 9th at the Fammy Furlane Hall, 2605 East Pender Street. And we've been talking with Miriam Steinberg, who is the artistic director of the festival. Oh, well, I guess we should mention when it actually is. We've spoken about the fundraiser, but the actual festival itself.
So the actual festival is June 7th through 9th, and the box office opens at 5 o'clock on Friday, June 7th.
Great.
And then again at noon on the Saturday and the Sunday. And it is a family-friendly event. I really encourage families to bring their kids and start getting their cultural fix right from the get-go.
That's right. Well, thanks, Miriam, for your great information. www.inthehousefestival.com, where there's lots of more information about this great Vancouver institution. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part 4 of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
Thanks for listening. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. We're on in Vancouver live on the radio here on CITR Radio and streaming online at CITR.ca. That was my chat with Miriam Steinberg. She is the artistic director of the In the House Festival. And we just had a great chat there where she told us all about the festival, the origins of the festival, what it's all about, how unique it is, and also about that event that's occurring next week on the 9th. It is the fundraiser gala, a 10-year anniversary. Hope you can make it. What's happening this weekend? As I mentioned, the New Pornographers doing that big show outdoors tomorrow. Tonight we have the Discorder magazine. Discorder is the great document that comes out each month. Here, the magazine that documents Vancouver's music scene. There's a special Discorder May issue launch party tonight featuring the bands Fine Times and Dirty Spells as well. It's going to be on from 8:30. And it is at the... Let's get the venue here for you. I believe it's the Cobalt. I will double check that for you tonight, though. After these first run of it's the Cobalt. So Fine Times is one of the bands playing. Let's play for your Fine Times track now. That'll be followed by Wiser Fool. Wiser Fool, a real favourite of mine, a local heavy band playing tonight as well in Vancouver.
Thank you.
So two very different styles of music there. You have the choice to see either of those bands tonight. The first you'll be able to catch at the Discorder May issue launch party. That band was called Fine Times. They're on at the Cobalt, also playing with Dirty Spells. And secondly was Wiser Fool, a local heavy outfit featuring Jay Beck on guitar and vocals. They're going to be playing tonight at the Railway Club at 8:30 p.m. With a rock band called Time, a Rock and Roll Circus, and Mississippi Live. So that's going to be... So you got two choices, two shows tonight in Vancouver, and many others going on, of course, but I've just presented you there with two. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Lots happening in the city, including film. I want to review for you right now a film happening at the Doxa Film Festival. So it's that time of year again. The Doxa Documentary Film Festival is on in Vancouver over the next few days, so more than a few, May 3rd to the 12th. And this is real a world-class film festival. There are dozens of films listed on the website, doxafestival.ca. A myriad of options for you to go see films about so many different subject matters. Tonight, for instance, there's Occupy the Movie, a very powerful film directed by Vancouver director Corey Ogilvie, which documents the Occupy movement that was of last year
and still current, of course. There's a full schedule on the website, doxafestival.ca, and I'm going to talk to you about a film that I saw a preview of at the Doxa Film Festival, which is being shown on Sunday, 2 p.m., and the film is called East Hastings Pharmacy. And I really jumped on this one because it's kind of close to my heart. I work in the downtown east side at the supervised injection site, Insight. So issues relating to illicit drugs, people who are addicted to illicit drugs, how they're treated by society, authorities, health systems and whatnot, very, very much an interest of mine. So this film I found quite captivating. It's directed by Antoine Bourges, that's spelled A-N-T-O-I-N-E, last name B-O-U-R-G-E-S. So it's a Canadian film, of course, filmed right here in Vancouver. And interestingly, the filmmaker set up an identical methadone clinic set as what he viewed walking past on his way to school. Every day he'd walk past this clinic down in Hastings, and he knew he wanted to do a little documentary, so we basically, you know, studied that in quite detail and set up his own set that mirrored it almost perfectly. It's a very, very moving and effective documentary, and I really recommend local Vancouver people see it because the illicit drug issue is something that we know is very much a pronounced issue in Vancouver. The Insight site was needed. It was determined about 10 years ago due to the state of emergency that was declared around the number of overdose deaths occurring in the neighbourhood of the downtown east side. So there's been a lot of very progressive social policy involved in establishing that site and the detox unit on site that is attached to it. Issues relating to methadone dispensing haven't been given as much attention, but I think it's quite important. And this documentary very well may spark a little bit more interest and debate about it. Methadone, of course, is the drug that is used to help heroin addicted people get off heroin. Methadone is dispensed legally, so one does not have to purchase illicit heroin, and heroin, of course, has very, very negative effects to people's health and well-being. So patients have to register with the pharmacy and show up very regularly to receive their methadone in bottle form. And so this documentary shows that day-to-day in a very stark way. There's no real sugarcoating to this at all. It's very realistic. And it basically is shot inside a pharmacy with the camera is often looking sort of directly where the pharmacist would be looking out directly at the person coming in through the front door, standing at the counter and interacting. Now, it's very, very well performed. There is actually some actors, but some also real methadone patients who are involved in the film. Now, the pharmacist is an actor, and she plays a very stern woman who doesn't show a lot of visible emotion as she interacts with the clients. She's got a very businesslike manner, and the film starts with scenes of her interacting. It appears to be in a very cold way, not necessarily about relationship building with the clients, but dispensing the drug and then moving on. At one instance, she just bluntly says, "Well, we don't have too many options here, unfortunately," in relation to a question from one of the clients. But the emotion is shown through interactions of the clients themselves. Some of them sitting around talking about their daily lives in a very natural way, sitting in the waiting room. The film actually flows very. It's got a very mannered and calm feel. Like it's interesting because if one walks around East Hastings, there is a real frantic sense of the energy in the neighbourhood due to, of course, the difficulty and desperation of people's lives. Interestingly, the film, the feel of it is quite, it feels relaxed, even though there's the sort of the cold business-like manner of the transaction. That's juxtaposed with the kind of the relaxed and almost almost playful approach to some of the clients as they're conversing and talking and laughing together. Maybe they feel it's somewhat of a respite to be there in a at least warm and safe environment, and to catch up and talk and joke a little bit. I found that a really great sort of contrast. And that said, you know, the female protagonist too, the pharmacist, does there are moments where she opens up a little bit too, and you can really get a sense of her frustration that she's doing a job which has its very severe limitations about what she can do. And there's one scene in particular where a client who's really quite distressed and she needs her methadone very quickly, and there's just nothing the pharmacist can do. There's a schedule, and she really, you can sense her desire to help as best she can, but she's stuck. She can't do what the client wants. So yeah, there's a few really interesting shots. As I said, it has a slow kind of pace, and there's a few really interesting shots that recur with the pharmacist pouring the methadone into receptacles. A very bright color, pink color, and it's quite effective to just see her pouring it. There's no sound. There's no kerfuffle in the background or anything. You're just looking at the stark image of the pink fluid. So yeah, I really highly recommend this film. Again, as I said, if you're a local Vancouverite and you don't know much about the issue of injection drug use or methadone treatment, other than what you've read in the mainstream dailies, definitely it's a good education. Very realistic, I think. And of course, having real, real methadone clients too on the as part of the cast adds a real flavour of authenticity and truth to this film. So we're talking about East Hastings Pharmacy, directed by Antoine Bourges. He was born in Paris and studied filmmaking at UBC. Currently lives and works in Toronto. His previous film was called Women Waiting, which came out in 2010. So that film is being shown on Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. You can buy your tickets online. Go to doxafestival.ca and hunt down the film East Hastings Pharmacy. I highly recommend it.
Hey, Horace, give us three shots of your best bourbon. And have that Russian waiter I like bring it over.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Tune into CITR 101.9 FM every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also find the podcast on CITR.ca, iTunes, and my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com.
I definitely recommend Russian Tim's show. Tim is a real powerhouse here at the station. Wonderful guy to chat to if you ever catch him out and about at shows as well. So that was a review I just did there of a film that's happening at the Doxa Film Festival in Vancouver. That is going to be shown this Sunday. And the film is called, a documentary film called East Hastings Pharmacy. Highly recommend it. Not too much longer to go of the show. Let's play a couple of tracks from you now, couple more bands from Canada. We have Young Galaxy and then Shotgun Jimmy. Shotgun Jimmy is a great solo artist from out east. Young Galaxy, actually, we have a review on the show blog. Maya Abbey from Edmonton has been doing reviews for us online. She's a really great writer. I recommend her review. She's putting out once a week a review on the blog, which is amazing.
Young Galaxy is the band, so we're going to hear a track from them and Shotgun Jimmy. And you can check out Maya's Young Galaxy CD review on strandedradio.com and click on the reviews CD review tab.
I'm a lightweight waiting for a Skype date. wonder how you're doing or how you've been. Pretty much straight up wondering. Tune my guitar, step out into the yard. It's been too long since we've seen the stars. Close my email and all other applications. I don't want to freeze up or add any complications. I'm a lightweight, wait for a Skype date. Oh, 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 I'm a lightweight, wait for a Skype date.
This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
We're almost out of time. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at OzStranded. More Canadian music there. We heard Jimmy, Shotgun Jimmy, with a quick little, cute little song there called Skype Date. And before that was Young Galaxy, a band that Maya Abbey actually did a CD review from that band. You can catch it on the show blog, OzStrandedRadio.com, and click on the CD review section. Buckman Coe is a great local folk artist, a real holistic-minded folk singer-songwriter, and he has a new EP out. I want to play for you a track from that right now. And also a song by a group called the Boom Booms, who are playing shortly. Let's find out. I know they're a local band playing soon. I'll get you their date just after this. Let's play for you the music first. This is Buckman Coe and the Boom Booms.
Everything, yeah. Love for all living things. ain't got no job, and I ain't got no money. I ain't got no home, and I'm all alone. But I ain't got no worries, and I ain't in no hurry. You're the only end holding mine, and now you got me feeling like my hands are untied. Come on, dry your tears with a song. Everything that's here will soon be gone. Though we may be far from home, you'll never be alone. So come on, dry your tears with a song. You once told me something, that I asked you for nothing. We left it like fog upon that green, green hill. We found each other stranded, open and abandoned. And you're the only head that's holding mine, and now you got me feeling like my hands are untied. So come on, dry your tears with a song. Everything that's here will soon be gone. Though we may be far from home, you'll never be alone. So come on, dry your tears with a song. I'm on my way, though I don't know yet where I'm going to. Lord, it feels like I'm on my way, though I don't know yet where I'm going to. Some people gonna go talking and talking, I don't mind what nobody says, as long as I got you near. People gonna go talking that talking, I don't mind what nobody say. Come on and dry your tears, and come on, dry your tears with this song. Come on, dry your tears with this song, song, song. Come on, dry your tears with this song. Come on, dry your tears with this song, 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 my darling.
All right, that's it. We are done. Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Done for another week. Thanks for listening. You heard there local artist Buckman Co. Buckman has a new release out. It's an EP. And you can catch him. Well, he's doing shows around town all the time. The EP is... beautiful case here. It's called Crow's Nest. And I played for you a track called Love for All Things. And you also heard the Boom Booms, and they're playing with Maria and the Shower and us on Saturday, May 4th. That's tomorrow at Electric Owl. Thanks for listening. African Rhythms up next. This is CRTR Radio.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Radio. Happy, boing, 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 boing